You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening, and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So we're in our third of the series of five, looking at various table talk questions. These are different things that you have conversation around the table sometimes, whether that's with your family in the dinner table, or maybe at a coffee table, or you know, even maybe at a bar at bar church, or any other space that you may occupy. These are questions that tend to come up in our lives, and this week we're gonna wrestle with the question, why Jesus? Zach, as you think about why Jesus, you know, what's your experience tell you?
That's a really good question that I'm going to have you answer first for us, Matt. I often go first, and I feel like the Jesus-y thing to do would let you be first.
Well, you know, I think that's great, but I'm going to be really Jesus-y and start my lecture with a question.
That's fair.
Why not Jesus?
Why not Jesus? So are we doing why Jesus or who Jesus? Let's.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. All banter aside, you know, why Jesus? I find myself having a lot of conversations with, as we all do, with ecumenical folks and people inside the Christian church and outside the Christian church, whatever that means, whether it be different faiths or belief systems or whatever. And why Jesus is always a question. Why Jesus and not someone else's teachings? Why Jesus and not another faith perspective? And for me, for me only, Jesus is who I identify the most with. There are teachings from the Buddha that I really, really enjoy and identify with. But as a whole, what Jesus had to teach about love, about grace, about people, about faith, resonates with me the most in such a way that it's Jesus, right? That is who and what I want to model my life after. It's who I feel called by to do this work as a pastor. And it's who I feel called to do this work as a person, to make this world a better place with or without the church. It's Jesus for me that is the model, to do good, in the world and with the people around me. And so that's my nutshell answer of why Jesus for me. Matt, what about you?
I think for me, and it just preached this, but I actually have found myself rethinking that, like, man, I wish I would have said this, or, you know, you've been there.
Right.
It goes back to the love that Jesus shares, in his ministry, in his time, in getting to know, you know, I fell in love with Jesus as a teen. So much so that it transformed my life. And his love, the love that he encourages to share, is really what motivates me. It's what challenges me. It's what pushes me. It's what guides me. It is Jesus for me. And I talk a lot about Jesus, and I do that intentionally because he made a profound impact on me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that, Jesus does have a little bit of a negative rap because of his followers. I'm not going to lie. We look at what's going on in the news right now, and ask ourselves that question, Jesus actually did have female clergy with him, and used him, mm-hmm. utilized them. And I think that, you know, like, why can't we be like Jesus more? That's my goal, is to strive to be like Jesus more, and love as best I can. I know I'm not perfect. I'm moving towards perfection. But for me, it really does lean in. And I'm not gonna lie. I love the Luke and Jesus. He went and had parties. He had food. And he wrestled with theological questions from the religious folk who asked serious good questions, and he healed people and fed people and loved them. I want to do that. And to me, it's where it is what I want it to be. And as a pastor, as a clergy person, as a follower of Jesus, that's what I want my congregations to be. I want us to be a mirror image of Jesus. We've got work to do. But I think that, you know, that great hymn, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. And the Matt Franks version is, for his love told me so. You know, yes, Jesus loves me. And that rings, that's a great reminder for me. And when I'm going through times, when I don't feel that love, maybe, or when I'm in a low point, to remind myself that yes, even Jesus loves me. I think that's, you know, that's my nutshell answer, in a long way.
Well, and you talk about the work that we have to do, the harm that has been caused, and the shortcomings that we have as Jesus followers, as the church, as, you know, Christians, as everything in between. We're in good company. Those who followed Jesus directly had a lot of work to do and didn't get it right. It takes Peter all four gospels and into 10 chapters of the book of Acts to go, oh, this is for everybody. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's not just for a handful. This thing that Jesus taught me all these years, and I watched all the things. Oh, it's for everybody. And I'm often flabbergasted by that story in Acts 10, Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius being a Gentile guy that teaches Peter, hey, I can love God too. And Peter's like, oh yeah, you can. How cool. Let's baptize you. That it takes him that long. I mean, the dude was there. He got off the boat and he sank. Like he was there for all of the things, right? He saw Jesus feed the 5,000 Gentiles as long as with the 5,000 Jews, right? Like he was there, and yet there's still work to do. And that gives me so much hope for us as we explore who is Jesus, why Jesus. Because it's not, us following Jesus is not about being perfect, right? It's at least for Wesleyans, about moving towards perfection, trying to figure it out day by day, and get better to do the things of sharing God's love and grace in ways that we didn't do the day before, and striving to do better in that the next day. But I mean, for me, Jesus is that push, to do it that in a way that's not about me. That I'm not doing the things that I do so that I feel good about myself and I have the accolades, but it's the reminder to do it in a humble way that I'm not alone in this work, that I'm not perfect in this work, that I have a lot of work to do, but I'm surrounded by a community and a church and a people who are striving for the same work. I'm like you, I'm fortunate and privileged enough to get to have a pulpit for that and to help people along the journey. But I've surrounded myself with people who are in the same place in the journey so that we all remember we're in this together.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I think is interesting when we think about Jesus, you know, his invitation to people to serve, whether it's Matthew the tax collector or James, John, and Peter, or anybody, was follow me. And I think that the interesting thing about that, and this is why I love Jesus, is that like, I'm not going to give you all of it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you, we're going to figure this out together. Like, as I read the gospels, that's really what I see. It's not that Jesus understood where he was ending up. Like, I think he understood that.
Yes.
But what I think that made the journey more fun for Jesus was not to have a full out itinerary, but to show all people what this new thing, this new connection with God is really about. And it's about love. And it's about that it's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the invitation's simple, right? Follow me. But there's not a formula or an itinerary or a very plan, you know.
It's more orthopraxy than orthodoxy. Let's use a big theological word here. Like, let's use that seminary degree for help. Right. It's orthopraxy, not orthodoxy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. He leans into the orthodoxy in answering the religious people's questions.
Right.
And he affirms it, but he makes it practical.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Jesus takes the faith and makes it practical.
Right.
And even in my life, I think about that, like, how would Jesus handle, like, you know, we grew up in an era as teenagers with the, what would Jesus do bracelets? That's a great question, for us to wrestle with and when we lean into love, like, to me, it's all about love. It has to land on love. It can take us, it makes following Jesus a little bit easier, but a little bit harder too at the same time.
I weirdly was listening to myself preach yesterday, which I never do. But it just happened. It was on my phone on podcast, got in the car and started playing. And, I heard myself say on Pentecost Sunday, if we believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us to go anywhere with hate and harm, we're not following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only leads with love and grace and hope and peace and justice. And if we lead with anything other than those things, it's not the Holy Spirit. It just takes it back to that. For me, that's why Jesus, right? Jesus leads with those things. With grace, with peace, with justice, with all of it. First and period. There's no, Jesus doesn't lead with hate. Jesus doesn't lead with harm. And I don't know, that's where I'm at with it.
I really wish I would have thought about this when I preached on this on Sunday. It's the hymn of the faith we sing. It's 3151 for those that may be planning to use this as a sermon series. It's called The Jesus in Me. And the hymn goes, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. So easy, so easy, so easy to love. And, you know, as someone who found Jesus as a teenager, I think the biggest growth point for me since I found Jesus was seeing Jesus in others. And that, even sometimes I have to remind myself to try to see, to try to do that. And that really, for me, the defining factor, the pushback point that I will always push back on is it pointing to love? Is it doing no harm? Is it causing us to stay in love with God? If it's doing those three things, it's very Jesus-centric. If it's not, then we've got problems.
Yeah. So I think that's where we land today. It's a big question, why Jesus? And I think it's safe to say that for all of us, it's a similar answer that rhymes, but a different answer, which is beautiful and good and hopeful to me. And so for you, how do you answer that question? Why Jesus for you? And if this is the first time you're hearing that question, wonderful. I can't wait to hear your answer. If it's the millionth time, I would love to hear how that answer has changed over the years and how you've grown into why Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to land. And please don't be a jerk for Jesus.
Can we put that on a shirt?
Yes, that's our next shirt. Don't be a jerk for Jesus. So we encourage you to go to our website at beardedtheologians.com, where you can check out all of our great content and past material. You know, we've been doing this for 6 years, and we have a lot of great stuff out there. If you're searching for a sermon series, we actually have a few sermon series that you could actually utilize that might be good for you to use for your congregation. We also have merchandising, because, you know, what podcast doesn't have good merchandising? You can
we have a new shirt. It's No Jerks for Jesus.
Yeah, No Jerks for Jesus. Or Don't Be a Jerk for Jesus. Sorry, yeah. Don't Be a Jerk for Jesus. And so with that in mind, for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video. And push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.